You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Well, I want to welcome you from your home, from your condo, from your apartment, whatever campus you attend. Maybe you're outside the state of Texas. Maybe you're on vacation. I want to welcome you as we look into God's Word. We're going to be in Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to be. So if you want to turn in your Bibles, you can do that. Also, we have what's called a listening guide, and we usually at all campuses hand it out to you when you walk in the door, because note takers are leaders and leaders are note takers, and we want to be able to write those things down. So difference makers are note takers. Note takers are difference makers. So we want to write those things down. Well, we can't hand it to you, but we're putting a link in the chat. You can get it on our website so that you can get a lot of notes. I put a lot of things down here for this message. I put scriptures down here that you can really look into and just put in your pocket and cut them out. I put some different lists that I'm going to give you further on in the message. And so you can scribble things down like crazy, but I want to really point you to that listening guide. I want to tell you a couple things as we jump in before we get there while you're turning to Luke chapter 12. I want to let you know that August 23rd, we are going to add back on-campus worship. So August 23rd, we're going to have online. We're going to continue online till Jesus returns, but we're going to add back on campus as well. And so you can get more information about on the website about that, times, places, all that sort of stuff. We'll be putting that up later on this week. We've also sent out a survey, and people have been filling out that survey, and it's looking good. People are ready to be back, so that's a good thing. Some aren't comfortable being back. We don't want you to feel ashamed. We don't want you to feel pressure. We want you to just do what you feel like's right in your heart of where you are. And so, man, wash your hands if you're coming. Get cleaned up. Social distance. Wear a mask. All those sort of things that we've learned to do. But we're going to come back on August 23rd. On-campus worship is going to be added back. And so pray as we're making arrangements. Check with us on the website so you can get the arrangements that you need to know. And we'll be able to jump in with that. I want to talk this morning in our five conversations with Christ, talk this afternoon, this evening, whenever you're watching, to be able to talk about the word anxiety, worry. It's a huge word. There's a lot to worry about in our nation. There's a lot to worry about in our world. I want to remind us, this is a global thing, not just a United States of America thing. So there's a lot to worry about. Even conversations about this can create worry, because there are some groups of folks that are like, oh no, this is all a hoax. Other folks, I'm never leaving my house. And so you've got to gauge your conversation. Okay, how do I minister in this moment? How do I connect in this moment? And so anxiety can come out in our lives so easily. It can happen in our lives. There's a book I want to recommend to you. We'll put the link in the chat as well. It's called Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado. We're actually going to go through this as a staff together this semester to be able to go through. Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado. I read it on my sabbatical, and the first page, the opening thing, the first paragraphs, I want to read it to you because I think it just really captures, it really captures this thing of worry, of anxiety. Here's what it says. It's a low-grade fear, an edginess, a dread, a cold wind that won't stop howling. It's not so much a storm as the certainty that one is coming, always coming. Sunny days are just an interlude. You can't relax. You can't let your guard down. All peace is temporary, short term. It's not the sight of the grizzly, but the suspicion of one or two or 10 behind every tree, beyond every turn, inevitable. It's just a matter of time until the grizzly leaps out of the shadows, bares its fangs, gobbles you up along with your family, your friends, your bank account, your pets, and your country. There's trouble out there, so you don't sleep well. You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy the sun. You don't whistle as you walk. A couple more paragraphs. And when others do, you give them that look. You know that look, that you're naive look. You may even give them a word. Haven't you read the news? Haven't you heard the reports? Haven't you seen the studies? Airplanes are falling out of the sky. Bull markets go bare. Terrorists terrorize. Good people turn bad. The other shoe will drop. The fine print will be found. Misfortune lurks out there. It's just a matter of time. Hear this last phrase. Anxiety is a meteor shower of what ifs. What if I don't close the sale? What if I don't get the bonus? What if I can't afford braces for my kids? What if my kids have crooked teeth? What if crooked teeth keeps them from having friends? What if it keeps them from having a career or a spouse? What if they end up homeless and hungry, holding a cardboard sign that says, "My parents couldn't afford braces"? Anxiety is trepidation. It's suspicion. It's apprehension. A life in a minor key, last thing, perpetually on the pirate ship's plank. Anxiety is more than just a storm of worry. It's a drizzle that is throughout our lives. It's more than a thunderstorm, Timothy Keller tells us. It's more like a fog of humidity that we walk through. It's around us all the time. And what can happen is, instead of just worrying about a certain item, we can begin to worry about many, many items. And then there begins to be a buzz in your heart. That's what I call it. Just a buzz of How do we battle anxiety? How do we battle this? There's a lot to be worried about. And yet Jesus Christ says something in Luke chapter 2, verse 22 through 26. I want to read it to you. If you'll look in your Bible and be able to see this, we're going to look at this passage of Scripture. Here we go. In Luke chapter 12, verse 22. And then he said to his disciples. Now, it's interesting that verse 1, it said, meanwhile, a crowd of many thousands came together. So there's many thousands, yet the way our section begins is, then he said to his disciples. So he turns to the believers, he turns to the leaders, and he says, therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, or about the body, what you will wear. For life is more than food. And the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They don't store up in a barn, yet God feeds them. Aren't you worth more than the birds? Can any of you add one moment to his life span by worrying? Then if you're not able to do even this little thing, why worry about the rest? Let me define for you worry and anxiety. Adam Mason, the head of our Juliana Poor Counseling Center, defines it like this. Anxiety is one of the most common experiences of humanity. So I just want to begin with your normal. Your normal. It is one of the most common experiences of humanity. I would define it as a state of psychological arousal associated with restlessness and insecure thoughts. It has a twin sister of depression, who joins her brother when the insecure thoughts turn to hopelessness. This Greek word here that we have of anxiety in this passage of Scripture, it means this. It's based on a phrase. The word translated anxious means to be torn apart. It's based on a phrase of doubtful mind, to be held in suspense. It's a picture of a ship being tossed in a storm. The English word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word that means to strangle. Corrie ten Boom said it like this, worry does not empty tomorrow of its problems and of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. So worry strangles us. Worry gets us antsy. Worry is something psychological, yes. It's also spiritual. It's something biological. It's something circumstantial. It's all those things coming. So let's ask this question. Why do we worry? Why do we worry? Well, here's why we worry. I'll give you a few things. I'm just going to list them off for you. Emotionally, we worry emotionally. Why? Because we care. We care. You know, there's a lot of things going on in different countries you don't care about because you don't know about. There's a lot of things going on in different people's lives that are even more major than going on in your life. Yet, you're not emotionally involved, not because you don't care, because you do. You just don't know about it in the same way. We care. You care about your job. You care about your family. You care about your friends. You care about your church. You care about your country. You care about your coworkers. You care about society. So emotionally, we care. Last week, Martha cared. She really cared. She was a good person doing good things, but she began to fret. Number two, physically. We can often get exhausted. The pace of life. All the things that go on with the stress of work and of home. And we can get in points and we can get in cycles, and I can get there times I'm doing good, times I'm not doing good, where I'm eating right and I'm exercising and sleeping well, and other times I'm not eating as well and I'm not sleeping as well. And we can get on that cycle, and it's just physically something begins to happen. And so what happens is literally our body physically, there's things going on. I want you to just think about this in a sense. You have an alarm system that is going off in your mind. You have a fight or flight. You just gotta do this with me. Put your fingers on your temples like this. Everybody do this. In between your two fingers is your brain. And in your brain, God has wired your brain. He's wired it so that you have fight and flight, so that you go and a car's coming at you and you jump out of the way, and that's the right thing. A bear does come out of the woods and you go, whoa, I'm out of here. And that is good and that is healthy. But what happens is it's like the gas pedal gets stuck in our brain. Physically, we stay in fight or flight because at work, it's just coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So you get home. Have you ever done this? You get home and you really can't stop what's going on at work once you get home. You're still checking your phone. You're still checking your email. You still are going, because as you're going through this, your brain is still in fight or flight. And when that happens over a long period of time, the gas pedal gets stuck. So we end up a little bit jittery. So we have things like this. Man, when I get on vacation, I just can't really rest. We got to go accomplish something. Well, I don't know if I could ever retire because I'm just a worker. Well, it might be that the gas pedal physically is stuck. And what will happen is that will turn on you at some point. And the fight or flight will turn on you. It is a difficult place to work in today's world. Every time you open your email, who knows what is in it? Is it a hacker? Is it somebody trying to get into your bank account? Is it a complaint from a client? You never know what's about to happen when you open your email. You open up a text message, it buzzes. It's not always smiling and great. Sometimes it's not so great. And we live in fight or flight. Do you know that the United States of America is now the most anxious nation in the world? Max Lucado says the stars and stripes have turned to stress and strife. Citizens in other countries enjoy more tranquil life. They experience one-fifth of the level of anxiety that Americans experience. Part of that is because we have got that achievement gas pedal stuck and we can't pop it out. So emotionally we care. Physically, we're exhausted in many ways and we've got the gas pedal stuck. And mentally, we've got in our mind as well, we have what's called cognitive errors. So here, Jesus is trying to go against a cognitive error of the disciples here in this passage. He says, look, don't worry about your life, what you will eat. They were worried about eating. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Don't worry about what will be provided for you. Now, we're not worried about what we wear. We can click on Amazon and get a new shirt tomorrow. We're not worried about what we eat. We can go down to the grocery store and get anything to eat we want. We can go to a restaurant. We can do all that. But that was their place, because their cognitive error, if you will, was, what am I going to do for food? What am I going to do to make this happen? What am I going to do to have clothing? And Jesus says, look, I want to just get your mind right. I want to get your mind right. You know how much discussion there is in this book of the Bible about your mind? Romans chapter 12, the renewing of your mind, that you would be conformed to the image of Christ, that he would renew your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, for that you would take every thought captive. Colossians chapter 3, set your mind on things above. The mind, the soul, the heart, the brain, all of that. Let me give you, and this is in your listening guide, this is going to be a lot to write down, but if you want to scribble it down, these have been helpful to me and others in talking about this thing of anxiety. There's what's called cognitive errors. Do you know what cognitive errors are? It's a wrong way of thinking. It's a problem comes and you go into a certain cognitive error. Now, I'm going to give you 8 of them. And in these 8, you think about your own life. And if you get down in all 8 of these, every one of these has affected me at some point. So we're going to go, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. It's okay. It's okay. Number 1 is all or nothing thinking. All or nothing thinking. There's no shades of gray. There's no grace. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. It's all or nothing. If I'm not perfect, I'm a failure. Students, there's so much pressure on you for your grades. If you don't make straight A's, you'll never get into any college. I have a friend that he says it like this. A lot of times we think that college, it's either Princeton or prison. Well, there's a lot in between. But that's an all or nothing thinking. If I'm not perfect or I get something wrong, I'm a failure. If I don't look like the lady on the magazine, I'm ugly. If I'm not as thin as the model, I'm fat. It's all or nothing, one way or the other. Number two, an overgeneralization. You know, I always get it wrong. Overgeneralizing. I'm a terrible parent. I'm a bad leader. I'm not a good friend. I'm an idiot. How? I always mess up on that. Why do I always put my foot in my mouth? An overgeneralization. Number three, and this one affects me. It's called mental filter. It's focusing on a single negative piece of information and excluding all of the positive ones. Can I just be vulnerable with you? Do you know what I think about on Sundays more at the end of a Sunday? I remember more the things I said that I didn't say just right, more than I remember the things that I said that were right. I'll lay in bed on Sunday nights and I'll think over a phrase. I'll think over a scripture I misquoted. I'll think over a word that I misspoke. I'll think over something like that. And even now in these days, because if you mess up, your career can be over tomorrow. And I'll lay in bed and think about one sentence after three entire messages. And my mental filter, I'll have to say, wait a minute, Lord, You use the weak to confound the strong. You use the unwise to confound the wise. In my weakness, you are strong. Thank you, God, that the message was not perfect. Mental filter, do you do that? Do you take a single negative piece and just take it and pull it out? And that's the one thing. You cooked the perfect meal, had all your friends over, and you said, oh, but the rolls were burned. There was one thing that stuck out. Number four, disqualifying the positive. We take the positive and we think anybody could have done that. We diminish our talents and our gifts and our successes, and we think we just got lucky. So somebody says, great job on that. Yeah, oh yeah, I know, I could have done better though. Oh, your business was a success. Yeah, but it was really just the economy. I kind of got lucky. You're a great parent. You know, no, not really. I mean, it just kind of, and we diminish these things and we bring them back, and it creates anxiety in our lives of disqualifying the positive. 5 out of 8, jumping to conclusions. Do you ever do this? It's called mind reading. Oh, I know the reason they didn't send that text right back. They're mad at me. I know exactly what they're thinking. They're upset with me. When I said that, they took it like this, and now they're thinking like this, and now they don't like me, and now they're upset with me. Or when I did this, this happened, and that happened. And we begin to mind read on what that person, have you ever thought, oh, they're furious with me, and then you're like, oh, no, they're great. And we begin to mind read, and it creates anxiety in our lives. Jumping to conclusions. Magnification. We take one thing and we blow it up huge. We blow it up. Number seven, that's number six. We make everything just so bad. I'm ruined if this happens. I'm going down. I'm going to be homeless if this takes place. We're getting a divorce after this one fight. It's all happening and it gets magnified. Number seven, emotional reasoning. I feel it, therefore it must be true. You know, Jeremiah 17:9 talks about just the deception of the heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 says, even if your heart condemns you, I want you to hear this, even if you feel it, doesn't mean it's true. Because you feel it, doesn't mean it's true. So what is Jesus saying? You may feel like, oh, I'll never have another shirt. I'll never eat another meal. God will provide for you. God will provide for you. It's a cognitive error that we begin to think, I feel it, it must be true. And I just want you to know, what you feel is not always true. The facts of your faith are true. Jesus is with you. And if this has turned into the ugly sister, twin sister of depression, I know you feel the dark clouds. And I know you feel that the sun will never shine, but I'm telling you right now, sure as I'm standing here, the sun will shine again. And what you feel is not always true. Oftentimes not true. Jesus Christ loves you, died on a cross for you, would give anything for you to turn to him right now, and he wants you to surrender your life to him. And Jesus is true and real. And that buzz in your heart isn't real. The peace of Christ is. Last one, personalization. You assume that you are to blame. You assume you're to blame. Well, that had to be because of me. That had to take place because of me. And we begin to have this cognitive error that our anxiety and our stress is because we begin to pull on ourselves. Well, my kid is acting out, and so it must be because I was a bad mom. It must be because I was a bad dad. Something happened at the office place. Well, it must be me. Something happened in a different area of your life. Well, it must be my fault. Well, you know what's great about this whole COVID thing? I can assure you, it ain't your fault. I can assure you that. That's one good thing. I've talked to pastors, and I'm like, let me tell you one good thing about the fact that your church is empty or your church is just like, you know, barely coming back or money's tough or whatever. I can assure you this, it is not your fault. And isn't that a great thing? We're like, oh, good. That's great. I didn't create a pandemic. You didn't create a pandemic. All they say, it's not my fault. Now, we've got to engineer our ways through it for sure, but to be able to say there can't be a personalization that happens. So I give you those things. I know it's a long list, but I think it is a very helpful list to understand a cognitive error. Then lastly, we're going to jump in this last one. We've said emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually is the most important one. I've kept that one for last because it's the foundation. A fear of provision. That's what verse 22 is about, isn't it here? In verse 22, it says this. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life, verse 23, more than food and more than the body, more than clothing? And he says, Jesus, God's going to provide. So here's the deal. Spiritually, it all comes back to a feeling that God will not provide for us. So listen to this. This is big. I want you to hear this, especially if you struggle with worry. Some of us have been taught to worry by our families. Think of worry like a blinking red light on a dashboard of your car. The red light's not the problem. What's happening in the engine is the problem. The anxiety and the worry is a notification of a deeper problem. Think of it like a wave that takes your feet off the ground. Think of it like a bubble that's coming up in you. And in that bubble, in that wave, in that red light blinking, there's something deeper going on that you're struggling because you're wondering about acceptance. You're wondering about value. You're struggling with guilt. You're struggling with what the future is going to hold. And all of that comes when we have the foundation. No other man can lay any other foundation except that which is laid in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the foundation. He's the plumb line. He's the security. He's the rock. He's the shelter. And so when we get our feet on the rock, now when the bubble and the light begins to blink and the bubble begins to come and the wave begins to come, I can ride it out and go, okay, wait a minute. What's the cognitive error here? What's the mental thing going on? What's the physical thing going on? What's the spiritual thing going on? Lord, how do I get my feet back on you? I want to trust you. See, worry won't change the situation, but it will change you. Worry won't change the situation, but it will change you. It can change you with an ulcer. It can change you with a heart attack. It can change you with a stroke. It can change you with shortening your life. It can change you with a lot of things. Change you with messing up a whole lot of things in your life with relationships. It can change you by putting you into an addiction of pornography, of alcohol abuse, of drug abuse, of anger it can put in you. It can change a whole lot of things in you, but it can also change something in you. Here's the positive anxiety and worry. It can put you on your knees before God. And when you get on your knees before God, as humble as you can be, realizing that C.S. Lewis is right when he said, we all hang by our fingernails on the edge of sanity. And we say, God, I give it to you at 2:00 in the morning because there's still a buzz in my heart. And I want you to do something deeper in me than I could have ever, ever imagined. That's what God wants to do. That's what he wants to do. But we've got a route. Something comes in our life, and we get on a certain route, and we go right down that same cognitive error that we've maybe had for decades. And we say, Lord, I give it to you. I hand it to you. and I give it to you. See, here's what can happen. Anxiety can come, but I want to encourage you of a couple things. One, I want to encourage you to show yourself compassion. Do you show the same amount of compassion to yourself as you would show to somebody else? Somebody else came to you and shared their problem, and you would put your arm around them and you'd say, oh man, it's going to be okay. God's going to make it through. No, you're not ugly. Of course you're not fat. You're not an idiot. Look at all that God's done through you. No, your business is not a fluke. Don't worry, pastor, about that one sentence. It's okay. But to show compassion to somebody else is easy for us. I want you to show self-compassion. Give yourself a break. Have some grace upon yourself. And begin to allow your mind to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12. Colossians 3, set your mind on the things that are above. To be able to have your mind shaped by the image of Christ. For we have been given, it says in Corinthians, the new mind of Jesus Christ. That we have that. And that the Lord can reshape our mind. Let me give you this illustration. I'm going to blow your mind here with this in just a second, because some of y'all have never seen what I'm about to show you, okay? Some of y'all have. I want you to know I found at our house records, okay? Now, students, this is what Spotify used to be, okay? You used to have to, instead of your phone, you'd have to get a record. So you go over to somebody's house and you'd say, hey, I'm bringing my records over here. Now they call them vinyls, okay, because they're so cool. So I found these. So I thought this would be kind of a little bit of fun. You know, we've had a lot of conversation in society about 60 and above. Well, I thought you 60 and above folks would love to see an Elvis album from back in the day. Elvis here. I had another Elvis album here. I think this one went from his TV special that Elvis had. So, I mean, this is a good classic type thing here. Now, some of y'all will remember this. This is my mom's album, and written on it here at the top is her first name and her maiden name. So back in the day, the Buddy Holly story. Anybody named Peggy Sue out there? Come on now. Here we go. Then we have the Golden Oldies, your favorite groups that are out here. So we've got the Barbara Ann. We've got Earth Angel on this. I Only Have Eyes for You. We've got the original winners of 1964 that are happening here as well. So we got that going on. And we've got the Beach Boys, the very best of the Beach Boys that are happening here. Well, let me take one of these albums, and I'm going to blow your mind for one other notch. Okay, you ready? Students, pay attention. This is what's called a record player, okay? Right here, a record player. I got it just this week, okay? And so that was a good thing. You can actually buy these things now. What's funny is the record player was $50 and the albums are $30. So that kind of shifted on us a little bit. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take from Elvis's Golden Records, I'm going to play you a song here, and it's called Hound Dog. Anybody remember that one back at your house now? Hound Dog. This song was released, you ready to feel old? 65 years ago. It was released 65 years ago. So if you're like, I just want to sing that old music, well, we're going to hear some old music here in this moment. Now, here's what we've got here. This is, you take this little thing and you put it on right here. And when you put it on the record, it goes into grooves. And this is what happens.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Now, some of y'all remember that? Let me tell you what happens in your life with anxiety. You get a problem, and just like a record has grooves, that's how it works. There's grooves, and the grooves, when I put the needle on those grooves, when this record, which is probably 40 years old, it's going to play the same song every time. And let me tell you what your cognitive error will do. When you drop in a problem, it goes right into the same groove. And so everybody's been telling you, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. You ain't ever caught a rabbit. They said you was high class. No, you're not. You're fat. You're ugly. You're stupid. You're terrible. you're a fluke in everything in your life. And all of a sudden, every time we have a relationship, it just drops down. And when it drops down,
you ain't nothing but a hound dog to cry all the time.
10 years later,
you ain't nothing but a hound dog to cry all the time.
Now you're married, and that was going to solve every problem.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog to cry all the time.
That's what God thinks of you. What everybody else thinks of you. And we get into the same grooves of anxiety, and Jesus is saying, do not worry, disciples. Do not worry. I want to change the grooves in your album. I want to change your life. This album is going to play the same way every single time. And I wonder if you need Jesus Christ on the cross to get you out of the same grooves you've been thinking for a long, long time. Now, let me tell you this. It's going to take some heart work. And it's going to be some hard work. Grief can set a groove in your life. A traumatic experience can set a groove in your life. Maybe even the way your body is arranged chemically can set a groove in your life. A traumatic experience, just reacting over and over. Some of us, we've been on the job for decades and decades and decades, and you haven't had more than a week off in 30 years, and the gas pedal is stuck, and you wonder why you're anxious, because you've been in fight or flight forever, forever. And I'm saying to you what Jesus is saying to you. Then he turned to his disciples, leaders and believers, and said, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. I can reset the grooves. For you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. To take it from the Old Testament, he's taken your sins and thrown them as far as the east is from the west. He's given you a new heart, it says in Ezekiel, a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. He wants to renew your mind in Romans. He's given you the mind of Christ. He knows your needs. If we kept going in the scripture, he knows your needs before you even ask. He wants to provide for you eternity and today. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come that you could have life and have it abundantly. Oh, my soul, why are you downcast? Oh, my soul, why are you hurting? Turn to Christ. For his mercies are new every day. For great is his faithful love for you. And here's what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ takes the old record of your life. And when he takes that old record of your life, he says, you know what? I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to get something totally different going on. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to do something brand new in your life. And I'm going to make it so brand new in your life. It's going to be a totally different beat. It's going to be a totally different way of doing things. I'm going to give you some sunshine of the summer and rewire this whole thing together. And then the Beach Boys come on, right? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if you didn't have that buzz in your heart all the time? Wouldn't it be nice if you really believed Jesus can meet you right where you are? Jesus can do his work in your life and take you to Kokomo in your soul. But to be able to go forward and with the Lord, to allow the record to be regrooved, God can do it. And he can make that change in your life. Now, I'm not saying the Beach Boys are better than Elvis. Please don't send me an email. I'm just saying that Jesus Christ can move in a huge way in your life. I want you to know, I knew this was going to happen. Lastly, I only got through half of the message today. So next week, this is what we did. Next week, we're going to do this. And I think that's a plan of God. Because I think what's happening in our lives is God wants to do something deep within us. And I want you to hear me loud and clear. We will make it through this time in the United States of America. We will make it through this time in the church. We will make it through this time in your life. You will make it through this time, whether it's COVID-related or something completely different. We will make it through. But when those bubbles come up of anxiety, when that wave comes up of anxiety, when all of that worry comes, we could say, Lord, am I thinking about you? Have I had my thoughts on you? John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give peace as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Search me, O God, and know me, Psalm 139. Know me and test me and know my anxious thoughts. Isaiah 26, and you will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because I trust in thee. Matthew 6, 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. John 14, 1, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God and believe in also in me, in Jesus. And then lastly, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Would you let God regroove your heart and play a different album in your soul? And do the hard heart work of turning to Christ as opposed to stuffing it. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for salvation in Christ, that we don't have to worry about heaven when we put our trust in you. We thank you that your word tells us to be anxious for nothing. And we just come, Lord, in your name and your power, and we ask, God, that you would break chains. That you, Lord, would break chains. Set us free, God. And you can do it in an instant. There's no doubt about it, Father. But a lot of times you do it through a counselor. You do it through a friend. You do it through dark nights of the soul. You do it through times on our knees at 2 a.m. You do it through hurts. You do it through the buzz in the heart. We just can't figure out why we feel like we feel when we say, my faith is true and my feelings are false. Father, we're asking for something different in the grooves in our heart. For moms, every problem with the kid would not go into the same song. For dads, employees, employers, thank you, God, I've experienced in my own life new grooves. The ability to have a thought that is from Satan, from hell, from demonic realms, and to say, no, that is not true. We love you, Lord. Would you turn to Jesus right where you are? There's a lot to be anxious about in our society. And Jesus turns to the disciples, the believers, and says, I want you to think differently. I've got a different song through you. Find the song that he's put in you of salvation in Christ and let him sing it through you. If you need to chat with somebody, you can text pray first to 41411 or even in the chat sidebar or wherever it's happening on your platform, you can just say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.